Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, November the 4th, 2022, 11:42, 15 minutes past the hour. It is the first Friday in the month of November, and the last Friday before Election Day, Tuesday, November the 8th, coming up. Everybody get out and vote. Now, don't forget, we will be on the air live that night with election coverage starting at 7:15 p.m. live, and we will not leave the air until all the races are called. Now, the races we're looking at that night are, of course, the only contested race in Marion is the county commissioner race between Dr. Mark Davis and Kathy Masters. We'll have that for you. The fire levy to build a new fire station is one of the things we'll be keeping an eye on that night, as well as the renewal levy for the River Valley School District. But we also are going to pay attention, of course, to the gubernatorial race. Governor Mike DeWine faces Nan Whaley. We've also got our mayor, Scott Schertzer, running for treasurer of the state of Ohio against Robert Sprague. And Jim Jordan, our congressman, is up against our guest yesterday. Her name keeps slipping my mind. Tammy Wilson, George Kasotis. Now, I said early on this morning that we had a special guest from 10 until 12, and no more special guest because I don't think he's been in the studio with us since probably February. And 2 hours, George and I will be here today having a good time reliving Marion's past, maybe talking a little bit about the election and any other thing that crosses our mind over the next two solid hours. Tammy Wilson was, and she was just on the program yesterday, so now I feel really bad because she was just on the show.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that bad, George? She's not going to be happy with me.
No, she's a pretty nice lady.
Yeah, I thought what do you make of that race? Because here we got Jim Jordan, who's been around for 8 terms.
Oh, 8 terms, yeah.
And then we've got Tammy Wilson, who's never run for office. And you know what's funny, though, George? I had her on yesterday. We had a 45-minute interview. And then all of a sudden last night, I started seeing her commercials everywhere. I didn't even know she had commercials.
I didn't either.
Yeah, she's got commercials. And she's baling hay in one, and she's standing with women in another one. So, well, she's getting out there.
Oh, yeah, she's getting out there, but I don't know if she can win this race.
You know,
Jordan, he just, I don't know.
Well, it's a tough race because they say this area is gerrymandered.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
People do like Jim Jordan, so I can't think it's all about gerrymandering because people do like him here.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that one. I think that might be an uphill battle for Tammy.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, what do you make? We only have one contested race here in town, Dr. Davis and Kathy Masters.
Yeah, Kathy's coming on pretty strong. She's out there. She's been out there. Billboards, yard signs, everything she can throw at the public. She's been out there, but I don't know. Who knows?
Well, that's one of those ones. You know what's interesting about that race, George? I've had them both on. I think I've had them both on a couple times. And the one thing I hear about that race is we're going to be okay either way. People like both of them.
That's really true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That's very rare that people like both people in the race.
That could come down to almost a tie. Who knows?
Well, it's going to be interesting, and I believe whoever does not win that race, I hate saying somebody loses, but whoever doesn't win, I don't think their political career is going to be over. I think they'll run for something else
right,
at some point.
Right, that's right.
Because they're both doing a good job of what they're doing. Then we got the fire levy here in town to build the new fire station. That I don't know about. Now, anybody who's been to the fire station would certainly say we need a new one. But the problem becomes people don't like new taxes. So you have a prediction on that, George? You think it'll pass on Tuesday?
I think it will.
I think we'll get the fire station?
Yeah.
And
I mean, you know, that place, it's been around a long, long time. And I can remember that station when I was at Pearl Street School.
don't they have the horse corrals still in there?
Oh yeah.
It's been around.
And when I was at Pearl Street School, that's been probably 90 years ago. Well, I am 90.
Well, I was going to mention that the last time you were in here, February, since then, you've turned 90. You hit the 9-decade mark.
Yep. How about that, Scott?
Olive oil and lemon juice.
You always remember that, don't
I do.
You?
I do.
Well, that's why I'm still here.
Olive oil. Now, explain. I mean, because this is, we make a lot of fun with it, but true, olive oil and lemon juice will help you live longer.
That's right.
Now, why?
Well, the olive oil keeps you lubricated, and the lemon juice purifies you.
So that's what it does.
Yeah.
Keeps you. So the olive oil keeps you moving,
lubricated.
Moving keeps the joints lubricated. And the lemon juice purifies. But what isn't lemon juice acidic?
Well, yeah, it's acidic. That's what makes you purified.
Purifies you up. So if you're not feeling well, lemon juice and olive oil.
Yeah.
Now, how do you take it, though?
You don't take it. You put it on your food.
Oh, you just put it in whatever. So you have to eat food.
Yeah, you have to eat food to stay alive.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't put it on a burger, would you?
Why not?
Olive oil?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. I've never had it.
If you cook the meat, you cook it in olive oil.
Now, do you need the extra virgin olive oil?
Oh, yes. That's very important. Extra virgin.
Now, getting to 90, what did that mean to you? What did you do on your 90th birthday?
Let me explain something about olive oil.
Okay.
If you go to Europe, you've got Spain, Italy, Greece, Turkey. That's four countries right there that border the Mediterranean Sea. Spain, Italy, Greece, Turkey. Boy, what is on the ground next to the water of the Mediterranean Sea? What is there? Olive trees.
Oh.
They've been there for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And guess what? They're still there. They're producing olives, which makes olive oil. Those four countries are the biggest exports of olive oil. Spain, Italy, Greece, Turkey.
That's interesting.
Four countries there border the Mediterranean Sea, and thousands of years they've been producing olives and olive oil.
Well, like this morning, I was thinking somebody brought in Butterfinger candy bars for Halloween for me.
Right.
Now, I can't put olive oil and lemon juice on these.
Well, who's talking about candy? I'm talking about food, nutritional food. Candy is fine. Candy is dandy, but still, we got to have food, you know?
What's your favorite food, George, from a man who knows diners and restaurants?
My favorite food?
Favorite food. If you could have anything.
Pasta.
Really?
Lots of pasta.
Now, like lasagnas?
Oh, lasagna, manicotti, all the different Italian and the Greeks. We all have pastas.
Now, all these diet people say pasta's bad for you. Carbohydrates.
No. They're wrong. They're very wrong.
They're wrong. So, now, how do you get the olive oil and lemon juice, let's say, in a lasagna?
Well, you just sprinkle. You put a lemon juice and olive oil in your mix. When you mix it up to bake, before you bake it, if you bake it or you cook the pastas, and then you put the olive oil in. Olive oil is with pasta is beautiful. I mean, it just gives it flavor, it gives it nutrition. It's so many things that olive oil does for your body.
Well, I'm going to work on this because I do believe in the idea that there are certain things that we eat that will have a sustaining effect. Because I did not realize this, but there's a lot of inflammation in our bodies.
Oh, yes,
and,
yes.
And certain foods will help. Ginger, I hear, is a very good additive for for inflammation.
Yes. Ginger is very good.
Ginger. But I keep thinking, what am I going to put ginger in besides tea? And I don't want to drink tea every day.
Why not?
I like tea. But I don't know, if I didn't have a cup of tea, what would I put ginger on? I mean, you don't want to put ginger on lasagna or burgers or things.
You know, there's so many different teas in this world, too. But there's one tea that is above all teas. And it's on the market. And if you ever want to try it, and you'll love it. It's called Constant Comment.
Oh, really? You can get that at the grocery?
Yeah.
Oh, now, what's so good about this tea?
The flavors, the aroma, the flavors, how it settles your stomach. If you have an upset stomach or something and you drink, you get your water hot, you put the Constant Comment. It's available at Kroger's or at any other store. It's in a red and black box.
Now, I know people have a lot of trouble with the acid reflux. The acid, comes up.
There's no acid reflux with the Constant Comment.
Well, do you think the olive oil and the lemon juice and the ginger would help with that?
Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely. Oh.
Helps with your voice, I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, vocal cords.
Well, look at me, I'm still talking at 90 and I'm,
going strong.
Pretty gone. I drove over here, I walked in your studio.
You remembered the time, you were right on time?
Yeah, I was right on time, yeah.
So you're going. So how did you spend the 90th birthday?
Just at home, I didn't do too much. I didn't, no big parties or anything. I just like to be here with you, talking to the people and telling them stories, and I've got some good stories this morning to tell you.
Well, I'm excited because it's always good to hear these stories, and I'm glad you're back. Now we're back in the studio because you have a great Christmas hat coming up, and we'll do that next month when Christmas is coming.
Oh yes, we always do that. That's fun.
Now, George, before we get to the stories, because we are going to get to the great stories here, I just want to run down these races for Tuesday night. What do you think about the governor's race, Nan Whaley and Governor DeWine? Governor DeWine was just out at Tri Rivers a couple weeks ago.
Nan Whaley's going to be in Marion today.
Really?
At 3 o'clock.
And she did not tell me.
She did not tell you.
And we had her on.
Well, that was a while back, wasn't it?
Not all that long ago. 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
I'm going to have to talk to her people.
I'm surprised, too, because I just found out yesterday that she'll be at the McKinley Park at 3 o'clock.
Really? Today?
Today.
Now, see, that's a bad thing, though, George, because do people know she's coming?
She's emailed a lot of different people.
Well, I hope they show up.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So, McKinley Park. Now, for people who don't know, because we got a lot of parks in Marion.
Yeah.
That's the one over here, right?
Right.
By the hospital.
By the hospital.
Yeah. So, she's just going to come stand in the park? Is she going to give a speech?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, I'll come down there.
Will you come down?
Are you going to be there? I'll be there. I'll come over at 3.
Yeah,
I got nothing to do.
Not on the air.
Well, I might bring a microphone. I won't be live on the air, I'll tape it.
Tape it, yeah.
Yeah, she might have something interesting to say. I like Nan Whaley as a person. I'm not going to tell people how I'm going to vote because I'm on the air.
Right.
But I like her as a human being.
Yeah, she's a nice lady. She's been mayor of Dayton for a long time, and she's been here before, and we've been to Dayton, and we've talked to her. But, hey, there's a lot of Mike DeWiners out there.
Well, that's the thing. And they don't like when I say this, but the polls say right now that DeWine's 19 points ahead.
Right.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So I don't know how that's all going to shake out in the end, but...
Anything can reverse, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't know. This year... You wouldn't believe. I've been up at the building, the county building, and there's been hundreds, at least 200 people every day have been voting.
Really?
I mean, since October. What was that, October the 12th? October the 12th.
Early voting.
They started, and from the October the 12th up to yesterday, there's been an average of 200 people every day voting.
Well, that's good.
Oh, that's very good.
So we'll have a good voter turnout this time.
on the 8th, I don't know if there's going to be that many turnout because three-fourths of the people have already voted.
Well, I wonder what's that on the account of? I wonder why...
There are that many people early voters?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what's driving people. You know, I keep hearing that there's this hidden vote because of women's rights. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
I just think they don't want to be there on the 8th with the hundreds and hundreds of people in line. So that's why they're early voting, really.
Let's see. What other races do we got here? We got the fire levy. We did the river. No, what do you think about the River Valley School renewal? No new tax involved in that.
No.
So that might pass.
That could pass. Yeah.
Okay. We did the governor. What else? We've got the big Senate. That's the one getting all the news. Ryan and J.D.
Oh, Vance. Wow.
What do you think about that one?
Whoa. There's so many signs out there. My God, they're all over the place. No Chance, Vance, and Tim, and No Chance, Vance. Those are the two biggest things I've seen.
You know, I cannot wait for Tuesday because I don't want to see another football thrown at another television.
Right.
You know, Tim Ryan did this great commercial. It was a great commercial, throwing footballs at televisions.
Yeah, right.
Well, then J.D. Vance took that, and then footballs were being thrown at people and televisions. Right. You know, now it's worn out. We got to get... I don't know who's going to win, but... We'll see.
Well, all the people can see is No Chance Vance and Taxing Tim.
Well, but you know, I did hear, and I haven't talked about it this week. I didn't know Nan Whaley was coming to town today, but Donald Trump's not coming to Marion, but he is coming to Ohio on Monday. And he's coming, I believe, to... where is he coming? But he's coming somewhere, and you know that's all about the big races. That's the day before the election.
Right.
And Trump in Ohio can swing things.
Wow. Isn't it amazing? Donald Trump. I don't know.
He'll be here. He'll be... where is he going to be? I'll have to look that up. But
I don't remember either. I heard it, but I don't remember where it's going to be.
And I wonder... I did hear, though, that Mike DeWine is going to be at that rally. Now, that's interesting, because he's distanced himself in a way from Donald Trump, but he's going to the rally.
Mike DeWine has been in there a long, long time.
Well, that's the question I want to ask Mike DeWine. Really, above every... You know, people make the claims and whatever. I want to ask him if this is it. Is this his last go-around?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's been there for about 45 years now.
Easy. Oh, from when he was everything. Secretary of State, Attorney General. I don't know.
We're getting information. See, George, we're electronic now, so we get information. And we're being told, Julie, who do we got here? Boy, if I could see better. Blackenridge says hello to you, George. Watching. And we're also getting word that Trump will be in Vandalia.
Vandalia.
Oh,
wow.
That's where he'll be. And you got the hello from Julie there, who's watching.
Who?
Julie? Yeah. Julie Blackenridge. You're a popular guy, George.
Oh, come on.
No, but here we are in the midst of this. So what do you see going on with Tim Ryan and Vance? Who do you think's going to pull that thing out?
It's going to be close, Scott. It's going to be close.
Well, then we've got the big one, our mayor, running for state treasurer.
Oh, Scott Schertzer, he's a great guy. I like Scott. I don't know if he can beat this guy or not, but he's trying. He's out there.
Well, what do you make? Have you... You know, I keep hearing from people they're not seeing a lot of signage.
Not from Sprague. I've seen a lot of Scots.
Have there been a lot?
In Delaware, too. I've seen them in Delaware, Columbus.
Now, is Scott going to be with Nan down here today at the...
I don't know if he's going to be there. I haven't talked to him today yet. And... But Nan's coming at 3 o'clock. That's for sure. But
well, see, I feel bad though, because if I don't know she's coming, I don't know if anybody knows. I hope.
I hope.
I mean, that's bad when you show up and nobody's there. not because they don't like her, but just because they didn't know.
They didn't know, right. Right.
You know, I don't know. Hopefully. She's out there.
Well, you know, she's really heavy on this abortion thing, and that's been pretty heavy.
Well, that's the question. Are people going to turn out to vote for that? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. So that's the way we go. But so we got the mayor who's... but that's a tough race because in Ohio, we're very, very Republican right now.
Very Republican. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if the mayor can pull that one off. I think everybody in Marion's pulling for him.
Oh, right.
But boy, that's going to be... That's one of those uphill battles, I think, right now, too.
Uphill. Very uphill battle. But... wouldn't that be some if it was close?
Well, it'd be good for him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's the other question. Now, this is what also we're going to be paying attention to on election night. Will he win Marion County, which always goes Republican? I don't know.
Scott's got a lot of support out there. People like Scott Scherzer. He's done a great job. He's been in there. I remember when he first started to run when he was like a teenager. He was in school. No, he was teaching then. He was teaching then. And he started teaching, and he started running for city treasurer back in the day. And then he was on city council for years. And then he won his mayoralship, and he's been there ever since.
Well, you know, it's a very special race for us, not only because he's the mayor of Marion. That position was held by our favorite lady of Marion, Mary Ellen Withrow, three different terms.
Right, right.
So I think that's why we have also a particular interest in it, not only because he's the mayor here, but because it's a position that she held, and Mary Ellen represented Marion wonderfully in that position.
Yes.
So I think that's also why we have a particular interest.
And Scott's got some education working for Mary Ellen. He was with her for a few years.
Now, do you think he has followed in her footsteps as far as being out there goes? Because you remember when Mary Ellen ran.
Oh, sure. I remember Mary Ellen back when she was in high school.
Well, there you go. You go way back.
I go way back.
I go back with her, but not that far back.
48. She graduated in 1948.
You know, she wouldn't like us talking about her age.
No, I know that. I just was over there.
Well, you're not.
I was just with Mary Ellen.
Where are you?
The other day. I went over there and visited with her.
You know what? Here's the thing about Mary Ellen, and I always say this: she accomplished all these wonderful things, went to the national level, and she could be really, you know, above people. But she's the most down to earth, easy woman to talk to. She came back to Marion after she was done in Washington, and she goes to the grocery store and just does her thing, and she's wonderful. So, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, I don't know how you don't like Mary Ellen Withrow.
Oh, you love her. She's a beautiful lady, and what can you say? You know, she was 48. I would have been 49. 1949. She graduated in 48. I would have graduated in 49. But I was held back because I couldn't speak English.
Oh.
I was a Greek boy.
You spoke Greek?
My mother could only speak Greek, and it took me 2 years to get... So I graduated 2 years later, 51. And it's just amazing that lady grew up, because I followed Mary Ellen and her career. Her and Norman used to come to my restaurant all the time. She would bring in her this guy that was a politician, and he was a Republican. And one time I said, they came in the door, and her and Norman were with this Republican guy, Walter Doc McCloskey. I don't know if you've ever heard
of him. I have heard of him.
You've heard that name?
I've heard him. I never met him, but I've heard of him.
Yeah, he was quite a politician. He was Republican. Everybody loved Walter Doc McCloskey. And he walked in with Mary Ellen and Norman, and I said, "Norman, what are you doing with that Republican?" And he said, "He's married to my sister." He was married to Betty.
Oh, so it was a brother-in-law.
Oh, it was a brother-in-law. And you know, well, hey, that happens. There's a lot of husbands and wives are Republican and Democrat, and this whole nation is married to each other.
Oh, of course, of course. And you know, the thing about it is, and I just wanted to point this out, I agree with Mary Ellen, though, on the age thing, because I don't understand why every time, whenever they run a story on her,
right,
they run her age. Now, why? No, they don't do that with anybody else.
Yeah.
Why do they run her age all the
time? I don't get that. I don't get that either.
You know, I got these articles here. These are recent articles. I kept them. Now, this is when Mary Ellen, she was just honored for her birthday.
Right.
Now, you know, right there, I'm sure they mention her age in here. They always do that. But Withrow inducted into Marion County Hall of Fame. And, right there it is. They mention her age. Now, again, I'm not going to say it because I don't know why they keep doing that. But always her age.
Right.
Does it matter how old she is?
No. Not at all.
Oh, there it is. There it is. She said, I think... Oh, this is a quote from that. You were at the event, were you, George? Yeah. You were at the birthday event, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, I think we've arrived on a date. We've got it on October 2nd, she said. Is that all right? I said, well, that's my birthday. And then the number...
The number,
which we're not going to say, but it's it would have been nice if they'd have put her family, don't you think? I mean, it's a nice picture.
Oh, that was a nice picture, but they should have put the family.
They should have put the family on the
right
front there, but, you know, that's showbiz, I guess.
We have another lady in Marion that's 99.
I know who you're talking about.
Norma Jacob.
Norma Jacob, one of my favorite people.
Isn't she something?
Oh, Norma is...
I hope she lives to be 100 in February of 2023.
Well, I know she's been taking it easy the last few years because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But I hope she can come out on her 100th, because she's still all there.
Oh, yeah.
And she was one of the first women on city council. And Norma is just one of the best people you want to meet.
99 years old.
Yeah, can you imagine?
And still going strong.
Still
going. Gets around.
Oh, yeah. She just quit driving a few years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Norma's doing fine, and I hope she makes it to 100 in February.
I'm hoping so, too.
Well, I think she will, because doesn't she still live alone?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just
well,
out.
Well, Dane and his wife is over there all the time. They're with Norma a lot.
Yeah, so we hope that Norma, I'm sure Norma will make 100. So did we cover, I think we did. I think we got the mayor and we got the Senate race and all that. So we'll see how that all turns out on election night, but I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting.
Very interesting.
And beyond that, you know, George, I wanted to mention something the other night when I saw you at the grocery store. You didn't get a chance to finish it because you were going out the door, but you were singing a fight song. Now, was it a fight song from your school?
Oh, that was when there was the last two numbers on the cash register were 17.
17.
And I went to school in New York City. God, when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old. Because mother stayed with her sister after dad brought him over, and then dad went back to Greece, and we stayed with her, my mother's sister. And I went to school at 117. Every school in New York City is PS once with a number.
And, you know, people don't know what PS means. Public school.
Public school.
Public school.
PS 117. cheer, cheer for 117. Our school is always supreme, loyal sons of liberty, marching along to victory. Our standards are ever high, we will always reach towards the sky. We will always stand by, right by good old 117. Every school in New York City is a number.
Well, it's good they have songs like that. Do they have them? They probably don't have them anymore.
Probably not, but that was back in mid to late 30s.
So that had been 85 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though, because I you know, now it seems like only colleges and some high schools have fight songs.
Yeah, but the number system really worked for New York because there were so many. I was just 117. Probably there was 1,117 schools.
I think they still do that, too. I think it's
numbers.
Yeah, P.S.
P.S. P.S. whatever the number is.
Now, what did P.S. mean in a letter? If you wrote, you'd say, nobody writes letters anymore.
Nobody.
But you'd write a letter and you'd say, P.S., don't forget to buy bacon.
Yeah.
What was P.S.?
Pretty soon.
Pretty soon. Don't forget the bacon. I never knew what P.S. meant.
P.S.
Yeah, but people used to write that in letters.
Yeah, P.S.
I don't know. If anybody knows, give us a call. 740-383-9944. All right, George, give us some of these stories of greatness.
Well, Joanne and I finally got a break. She'd been at that office. Right now, she's right there at the county building. You know, she's unopposed.
She is running this time, but unopposed.
She's on the ballot. She's on the ballot. Joanne's on the ballot. Joanne Kosotis, Marion County.
Maybe this is somebody who knows what P.S. means. Let's hope. Hey, caller, go ahead.
Postscript.
Uh-huh. Oh.
It means postscript.
I knew that, but I couldn't think of it.
Are you enjoying George this morning?
Oh, yes.
Good. Good. It's also being broadcast on Facebook. Have you seen that?
I haven't turned on my computer or anything.
Yeah. Do you have a question for George?
No, I just enjoy listening to him, getting ready to listen to his stories.
I enjoy listening to him, too. We're going to get into the stories here in a moment.
Okay.
Thank you, though. Bye-bye. See, our audience is smart out there. Postscript.
Postscript. Thank you.
Yeah, Trish.
Trish?
Trish called in. Postscript.
Thank you, Trish.
So, that's what it meant.
Okay, postscript.
Okay, now, she wants to hear a good story, George.
Well, this year, we've only had two times that we had to...
Now the phone's ringing out. It's like the, what do you call that, Grand Central Station now,
right.
George. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, this is Judy.
Judy, how are you?
I asked George if he's going to participate in the fake toss.
Well, George...
I wrote down no.
I don't have earphones.
You know what? I didn't give George a set of earphones. Man, I'm terrible. I want to get George some earphones during the break here. But I didn't mention it, but Thursday night, December 15th, 7 p.m., is the fruitcake toss. Now, we got 30 people in this. Let me run this down for people. Fruitcake Lily, Sarah, Judy Cressup, Glenn Coble, Angie Evers, Buckeye Guy, Superfan, will be in the fruitcake toss. Pastor Steve Whitaker, Ralph Thacker, Don O'Bauer, I'll be in it. Brandon, who's here, Sean Terry, Linda Adam, Bob Smith, James Anderson, Mr. Tallgrass Trail will be in it, Dr. Davis, running for county commissioner, he'll be in it, Mike McGinnis from My 600-Pound Life is in it, Bob Welsh, Abby Chase, Lieutenant Brown from the police department, Sheriff Matt Bales himself will be here, Fire Chief Chuck Dean, former Mayor Jack Kellogg is in it, Ed Pickett, Ted Jolliffe, Mr. Neal, Jacob Barnhart, and Jeannie Evers, all in the fruitcake toss, December 15th, 7 p.m. The winner gets a plaque, which is being made and brought in from Columbus, Ohio, by Bob Welsh. They'll get a certificate saying that they won the fruitcake toss. They'll get a Claxton fruitcake and dinner, free dinner, somewhere here in Marion. So the question, George, is, will you be in the fruitcake toss from the listener?
I don't think I can that day.
He's busy that day.
No, I'm going to be out of town, I think.
Oh, going to be out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, maybe George can come by early and just toss one.
That'll be neat.
Yeah. So how about that? Would that work if George came before he left town and tossed one, and we'll mark it off how far he threw it?
Yes, and if he just wants to participate, too, that's fine, too, with me.
So. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll put George down as an early throw.
Well, I'll put him down as a maybe.
That'll be neat.
Yeah.
I'll put him down as a maybe, okay?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Well, we'll let you know when George is going to toss it if anybody wants to come watch.
Well, I heard him on the radio, and I had a hard time getting hold of him, so I thought I'd just call in and double check when you said when you talked to him, you thought he might want to do it, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's in here, and I'm glad you called.
Okay, Dan.
Thanks, Judy. Bye-bye. People want to see you, and I understand you'll be out of town. That's a tough thing, but we, you know, maybe we can get you out here before you leave town, because it's really just how far you throw it. And we can mark you down, and then we'll have it that night.
Yeah.
And you might end up winning the... do you like fruitcake?
Oh, yeah, I love fruitcake.
See, I can't eat that.
You can't.
Oh, no,
Joanne can't eat that either. It ups something with her stomach. And but I've eaten fruitcake for years.
Well, to me, it tastes like wax lips.
I know, all that gummy fruit is in there, the little squares and little chunks of cherries and pineapples and everything, every kind of fruit you can think of.
You know what I think there's too much in is anise. I think they put too much anise in
right,
there.
Right.
And anise you can make soap out of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what else I feel? Mary Ellen was going to be in the fruitcake toss. And for 2 years now, last year she had a death in her family, unfortunately.
Right.
And then this year she had an injury. So, yeah. You know, I hope, you know, I don't know what will happen. Maybe she, if it's nice weather, she can come out and watch that night. I feel bad because I think people want to see
right.
Mary Ellen.
Right.
Everybody wants to see Mary Ellen. So we'll see what happens. But 30 people right now in the fruitcake toss. All right. So now we'll go to a story.
Most of the time, like right now, Joanne's in her office. But every once in a while, there's a break and we get to go somewhere. The first break was in Washington, D.C., and we had a beautiful time in Washington, D.C., and not only did we get a learn a lot about history, but we visited the right places, like Arlington Cemetery, 760 acres of veterans that have died. A lot of times, like I was in the Korean War, and during the Korean War, we lost, between four divisions, we lost 5,000 of our soldiers. There was no way to get them back home to America. So what happened? They buried them there, and they just bulldozed them over in Korea, and their bones are still there. They never got home. I came up with something during an honor flight. Most Americans, when they see a veteran, they say, "Thank you for your service." I want to say to that veteran, welcome home, because thousands of soldiers, especially in Korea, I don't know about Vietnam, never got home. So I thought a nice verse would be, thank you, naturally, thank you for your service, but welcome home.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Well, and for the Vietnam veterans, that's especially nice.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were not treated very well when they came home.
Oh, no, not at all. That was sad.
Yeah.
But in Washington, D.C., when we were in the Arlington Cemetery, before the Civil War, there's a house that still sits in the middle of the Arlington Cemetery. It's called the Arlington House. That house was built and lived with General Robert E. Lee before the Civil War. I don't know if a lot of people knew that. That there's a house in the Arlington Cemetery. I was in that house. What a feeling. What a beautiful house. It's still there. But in Washington, D.C., there's another thing in the Arlington Cemetery. The burial of the unknown soldier. A lot of people don't realize what that means, that unknown soldier. That unknown soldier has a lot of meaning, and a lot of people don't realize it. Do you yourself know why there is a 21-gun salute?
I do not.
Most people don't know, Scott. Why is there a 21-gun salute? In 1921, General John Blackjack Pershing brought back the unknown soldier from France, from the Argonne Forest, exactly where my father was, in the Argonne Forest in 1918, 1919. But 1921, General John Blackjack Pershing brought back the unknown soldier. The boat docked at the harbor in New York City on November the 9th of 1921. When they took the unknown soldier's body off of that boat on November the 9th of 1921, it took 3 days to get to the Arlington Cemetery. At the Arlington Cemetery, the grave had already been dug, and the hoist was above the grave. And they attached the casket of the unknown soldier to that and lowered it in the ground. And when they lowered it in the ground, General Pershing had a little bag, a cloth bag of soil from the Argonne Forest where the unknown soldier died. And he poured the dirt from the Argonne Forest into the grave. And as he lowered him down and buried him at that same spot today, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are soldiers marching across that grave. They take 21 steps.
Oh, really?
And then they turn around and take 21 steps back. That goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So it's all really going back to 1921.
1921.
And General Pershing
brought the unknown soldier to the America from the Argonne Forest.
And that's why when somebody dies who was in the service, we do a 21-gun salute. Well, that's interesting. I never knew that.
I know, because there's things like that that happen that is very important, because there's a lot of people that even do the 21-gun salute don't know why they're doing the 21-gun salute.
No, no. When my father died, they did a 21-gun salute.
Right.
So, but I didn't know why they did it.
He was a veteran.
Yeah. But you know what was interesting? People collected the shells.
Oh, yeah, the shells.
Because they really do fire stuff off.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's very, very nice.
Yeah, that all happened in November the 9th, and he was buried on November the 3 days later. He was buried there at Arlington Cemetery, and that is a beautiful. I've seen that twice. I did that on an honor flight. I saw that, and then again when Joanne and I were in Washington, we had the chance to go over to the Arlington Cemetery, and it is 760 acres, and I don't know. It's almost full.
Now JFK's also there, right?
Oh,
with
yeah,
the eternal flame.
Yeah, JFK.
The flame that has not stopped since 1963, when he was buried in November of this month, 19. Boy, this is the what is this?
63 to 23 next year.
Yeah, next year will be 60 years.
60 years.
So it's 59 years this year.
Yeah.
Since JFK's been good. Boy, that's hard to believe.
That's hard to believe,
My
isn't it?
Gosh, 59 years since JFK. Where were you when JFK was assassinated? That's one of those moments people always remember.
Oh, I was right. I was
working, probably.
Yeah, I was working at the restaurant.
Yeah.
I was 63. I was at my restaurant.
It's something. Now, let's see here. Well, JFK, he's remembered very well, and probably should be. He gave people a lot of hope. Young, I think. I think President Obama had that in a way, too. He was young, and people thought hope.
They made a song up. He's got high hopes. You remember that
I
song?
Do. High hopes.
High hopes.
Yeah. Well, what's the... We've got George Kasotis for another hour. We got 2 minutes left in this segment, but George will be here for another hour this morning, so don't go anywhere. But I was thinking, George, now do you leave town for Thanksgiving?
Usually, yes.
Okay. Well, the day before Thanksgiving, if you haven't left town, the 23rd, come in that morning, I believe we'll be here from 8 until noon that day. And Bob Welsh, who owned the... Oh, you were here, the pizza man, remember?
Yeah, the pizza man.
And he's going to be here on the 23rd, and he's bringing in, for Thanksgiving, now you'll love this, pumpkin pie pizza.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
That sounds good. So, George, if he's still in town, you can come in that day, and maybe we'll toss a fruitcake that morning.
Okay.
Day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And George, and if you want to bring a dish, you know, because we know you're the cook.
Okay.
For that morning, because we're all going to, I think Glenn Coble's coming in, and Linda Sims is coming in, and I'll be here, and Bob.
Bob.
Yeah, so we'll have a whole little Thanksgiving dinner that morning, before Thanksgiving.
That'll be nice.
That'll be nice. You know, George, of course, what I love is the baklava.
Oh, the baklava sundae.
Baklava sundae.
Delicious. The ice cream.
Delicious. I made that for Angie not too long ago, and I say I owe that all to George Kasotis.
Angie Evers. Oh my god.
Because she'd never had one. And I said, well, you got to try it. It's the best dessert there is.
Yes, there is.
So we're going to take a break. George Kasotis coming back 15 minutes, a whole nother hour with George. Don't you dare go anywhere.
I think absolutely horrible. No, never had anything like that. I'll tell you what, I can't ever think of a student that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely.
Well, you know, it's funny, though, because Mary Ellen Withrow was in here last week, and we talked about Hillary, and she said one of the biggest obstacles